And at this time, I give you Pastor Jim Mandel.
Let's give a special hand for Jim. He's an awesome man of God. I'll tell you, I met Jim a while back, and he actually is part of the worship team, and he plays an awesome guitar. And believe it or not, the guy is anointed in song, and I can understand him just wanting to praise and glorify God and things of that nature. So as we move forward, keep those that are in prayer that are traveling, because there's a lot of traveling this week and this month, and people are moving all over the place. So those that aren't here, you know, keep them in prayer. And as they travel through the holiday season, keep everybody in prayer. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we're going to get ready, and I think the website's about to start. I've been speaking a message about why God and the importance of God. But there is a requirement from us. And one of the requirements that we have is that we have a kingdom that's living inside of us. You have a place that's inside of you. That's what makes you up. It's your heart. It's your whole being. You have feelings. And without feelings, you're nothing. How many people would agree with that? And a lot of people try to quench your feelings. And I'm a believer in feelings, because that's your makeup. That's who you are. And we need to express our feelings. Now, there's an emotion, okay, where your feelings just explode and go out of control. Those are the things that you want to kind of quiet down. But your feelings are what makes you up. And your feelings are with inside yourself. And it's life. And most of us don't listen to one another. How many people realize that we don't listen to anybody? We have a hard time trying to hear what someone is saying, and we can't even hear ourselves. We're not even true to ourselves. And this is why I say, why God? It's very important to begin to understand why God. Because God, I feel, is who you are. It's your true feelings. The truth inside of you is who you are. We're all made up of God. Every part of us is made up of God. But we struggle. We think it's us. We struggle with our inner being. We struggle with our feelings. We struggle with our thoughts. And there's laws that are placed on earth that we tend to have to seem to follow. But the most important thing, and Jesus said this all the time, you know, that the laws are written on our heart. God's commandment, he wrote his laws on our heart. And to understand the laws that are written on our heart is probably one of the most important beginnings of life. Because now you can be true to yourself and have a boldness to be true to yourself. You know, there's too much right and wrong and good and bad in this world. But technically, what is really right and wrong and good and bad is what's living inside of you. Have you ever tried to express yourself and no one really listened? They didn't take you serious. You've been trying to cry out. You've been trying to say something. And it seems like no one is taking you or hearing you. And this is why I say, why God? Because God hears that cry. God hears that innermost being inside of you. And you're going to turn to the person next to you, or you're going to turn to a loved one. And you're going to turn to somebody as close as possible to you, and they may still not be able to hear you. How many of us are married and have a spouse? Okay. How many times have you tried to sit that one spouse down and try to say something to that spouse, and they just seem to not really hear us, you see? And there's nothing wrong. This is what the Bible says, that they're deaf, dumb, and blind, so to say. They're just not connecting with what you have to say. And this is why I say, why God? Because God opens up your eyes. God opens up your heart. God opens up your ears. He opens you up so that you're capable of listening. So that you're capable of even listening to yourself. Because you're crying inside. There is a cry inside, and you don't even know what you're crying about, but you're crying. And how I know that is because I, too, was one that was crying. And sometimes I still cry, but I know now who I'm crying to. You see, God hears our cries of our heart, and he longs to hear for our cries. And to understand your feelings and to understand where you're at in life is probably one of the greatest gifts that you can have, because you're not lost. You know who you are. You know how you feel. You know what you want. You know. And the only reason why we're lost is because you feel as though that nobody's listening, or maybe nobody is listening. And so you're saying, well, nobody's listening to me, so there must be nothing there. I must be lost. But God is listening to us. And to have that reassurance. Now, what I want to share today is that there is something inside of us called the kingdom of God. It's a place, and I call it the kingdom of God, because God dwells in it. It's a place for God to dwell in. But it's really, if I had to say it in a secular world rather than a spiritual world, a terminology, that place inside of you is your feelings. It's who you are. It's a place that is you. And that kingdom needs to be established. First, we recognize that those feelings that you have are real, they're true, and that they should be listened to. They should be honored. They should be respected. You know, whether you agree with it or not, you shouldn't take that place of not agreeing or respecting what's inside of you. You know, there are times where we feel a certain way, and then we basically try to deny it. No, I don't feel that way. No, I don't feel that way. Yes, you do feel that way. And if we can be really honest with ourselves, a kingdom is established. And I want to establish a kingdom with all of us. Those that are listening and those that are here today, I want to establish this kingdom and get you to begin to start realizing that there is something inside of you that is really special, and that God wants to dwell with it. Honesty is probably the best place. Now, one of the things that is true in this word is that the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence is taking it by force. And we have to realize that there are things out there in the world that are trying to disturb or hurt our feelings, or disturb or hurt our kingdom. And they could be as close as a loved one. You know, when I have a spouse with me and I'm laying my heart out on the ground, and you know, and I'm spilling my guts, so to say, and they're not hearing. Well, your kingdom of God is suffering violence, and the violence is taking that kingdom by force. Because how do you feel when someone isn't really listening to you? You feel upset. You feel discouraged. You feel hurt. That you feel as though that, you know, you're wrong for some reason or another to feel that way. Has anyone ever been in that place where you've been trying to talk to somebody and they're not really paying attention to you, and that you feel hurt afterwards? You feel you discouraged. You feel, you know, frustrated. You feel annoyed. You start to worry. You think something's wrong with you and stuff like that. Well, I'm here to say to you that there is nothing wrong with you. And this is why it's important to establish this relationship with the God that I am referring to, because he comforts you. He lets you say that, you know what, how you're feeling is okay. It comforts you to say, you know what, maybe you might need to have to put your foot down a little bit harder. And maybe you need to, you know, grab that person and shake them up a little bit. Maybe you need to really express yourself just a little bit louder, just to show how serious you really are. You know what ends up? We end up submitting to the violence that is destroying our kingdom. We end up submitting to it, and then right away we bottle our feelings up. Right away we hold in all that frustration, all that stuff that we have inside of us that we want to share. And then what happens is we get sick. We get depressed. We get upset. We start to worry. And then we start thinking that there's something wrong. Well, there's nothing wrong with any of us. This is why it's important to understand my God, because he has made us unique and wonderful. and how you're feeling inside is His way, His feelings, His purpose. If you're frustrated, you need to let the world know that you're frustrated. If you're happy, you need to let the world know that you're happy. The worst thing that you can do is bottle up the kingdom, is to quench it, to quench the spirit. You know, one of the most impartable sins, the unforgiven sin that, you know, the Bible talks about is quenching the Holy Spirit. And when you begin to quench those feelings and hold them in and, you know, and think that, you know, it's not proper to share, well, then we're letting the violence take over the kingdom. And I feel that today we need to be free. Now, if you're feeling a certain way, that's the way God's feeling. But we also have to understand, we can't make anybody do something. We can't make people do anything. We can't make people hear us. But we can make sure that we can try to get our points across. We can sit them down and say, now, did you really hear me? Do you really understand how I feel? Are you going to do anything about it? And hopefully they answer you. A lot of times they don't. A lot of times they walk away and they don't say nothing. I'm a big believer in communication. And I think that communication is a big key of helping one another be free, helping one another be delivered and set free. What happens is when you don't express yourself and you don't let those feelings out of the kingdom, I'm going to call it the kingdom because it's alive, it's living, it's a place, it's God. And when you don't let those things out and you don't discuss it with one another, what happens is the violence comes in. And that violence begins to cause imaginations. It starts to create lies and it starts creating things in your head, and they whisper negative, destructive things. And right away, they want to put guilt and shame on you as if something's wrong. Right away, they want to put something in you to make you think a certain way, and then your heart gets troubled. Now, the Bible talks about something that sounds really barbaric. It says, if your arm causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. They say it's better for the member of your body to perish and suffer than it is for the whole body to be rotted and decay and to burn away. And I paraphrased it, so those that are listening might catch me word for word, but I want to hear the core of what I'm trying to say. And we have certain members in our bodies. And when we hold on to certain things, it tends to create the whole body to start getting sick. It starts to affect the whole entire being of yourself to become ill, depressed, and you begin to rot inside. And this is why it's so important to understand my God, because my God comes in with some truth. Now, it hurts to cut off a piece of your arm, and it hurts to pluck out your eye. There's a lot of pain there. And I want to emphasize on the pain, not the fact of you're actually cutting off an arm and not the fact that you're actually plucking out an eyeball. But it hurts when you have to basically cut it off, let it go. And so there's one part of us that needs to let your feelings out. And then there's another part of us that we have to realize that whether they're listening or not, whether anybody's going to do anything about it or not, we have to learn to cut it off. How many of us here tend to hold on to things? We hold on to them, and then we get angry, and we get bitter, and we have resentment. We begin to start getting hatred and annoyed. And we need to learn how to cut off these certain issues that are in our lives, so that we can begin to be free. If we don't cut these things off of us, we're actually creating ourselves to decay. We're actually creating ourselves to rot inside. And then we walk around feeling hurt and empty and not understanding why. We're holding on to things, and really we got to learn to let them go. It's one thing to let it out, and that's one of the most important things. Let it out. How many of us here are bottling things up inside? Let's be real about it. One of the most important things is if we confess to one another, that it literally begins to start setting us free. I used to be in that position of bottling things up. And then I've learned to, share how I feel. And then I was at a point in my life where I felt as though that because I shared how I felt, I was expecting people to actually do what I felt. And then I realized, well, that's not helping me because I'm in no better shape than if I ended up holding it in. So now I'm at a point of saying to myself, well, you can share how you feel and then let it go. Cut it off. We're hurting. There's a hurt inside of us because of wrongful doings. Even when we shared, we got to cut it off. Move on. Begin to understand that God has someone else special for us. God has put us in a place that there's something better. There's always something better in the eyes of God. These hurts that we've carried around for a long time, why? Has it profited us anything? All it did was rob from us, steal from us. I feel that God wants to restore what has been robbed from us and what has been stolen from us. I believe God wants to give back to us. And I think one of the things that hinders us from getting those things that we long for and need inside of us is because we're filled up with something else. You've been asking for something. You've been longing and desiring for something. But if your cup is full, how can I put any more in it? We got to get out the bad so that we can be filled with the good. We got to let things out that has been hurting us. We got to let them go. We can't control anybody. We can't make them do what we want them to do. They're deaf. They're dumb. They're blind. They're not listening. They can't hear what's inside. Even when you yelled and screamed, we know those times, right? Sometimes we yell and scream so much, our throat hurts. We end up getting a lot of people involved, and the drama really gets all kicking up, and we hope that we get people to side with us and, maybe get a gang going. And maybe if we gang up on them all, we can be heard even louder. But that's not happening. So sometimes we have to learn how to walk away. We have to learn how to walk away from, those issues that are in our lives. We have to walk away because we're just hurting ourselves more and more and more. And our cup is filled. And we can't get any more in there. What we need to do is we need to begin to empty our cups. We need to begin to cut things off, even though it hurts. I know that there's a lot of things in my life that hurt. I know that there's a lot of things that I want to hold on to because, I have such care and love for those individuals. And I realize that in order for me to get better or get some more, I got to empty my cup out. I got to start taking things out of my life so that I can get my cup filled. Our cup is only so big. Our spirit, our soul is only so large, so big that it only fills so much that we have to find a place in our lives where we make that decision up and begin to start cutting out the things that hurt, the things that tend to, rob from us and steal from us, even though we love it a lot. There's a lot of love inside of us. It's God. None of us are made to be evil. None of us are made to be, bad. I truly believe now that God has really changed my life, everyone is nothing but love. Everyone does everything through love. They just don't understand. And through their lack of understanding, we end up living a life that causes pain. And love hurts. Love hurts. But once we endure some of that pain is only for a moment. How many people have smashed their thumb on a hammer or something, you know, or cut themselves? And, you know, we experience some pain. And I'll tell you what, as soon as that hammer hits, there's a tremendous amount of pain. It's like, oh, and you think you're going to lose your thumb or something. Your fingernail is going to fall off. No one likes that pain. But eventually that pain tends to go away. Then sometimes the imaginations feel like we're going to lose our thumb, and we realize we didn't lose our thumb after all. So the imaginations have to be torn down. We have to realize that God's love for us is so great, so big, and embrace that love. That's why I'm saying, why my God? Because my God heals. It may not feel good in the beginning, but my God heals. My God restores. My God makes you whole. But there's a process in the midst of it. Cutting your arm off and plucking your eyeball out sounds dramatic and insane. But if you take it in a spiritual sense, if you take it in a spiritual way, that eyeball is important. That arm is important. There's important things in our lives that feel like we can't go on if we don't have it anymore. I mean, what's it like to go without one more eyeball? You know, you have to look and see with one eye. But God is one who restores those things. I truly believe that God is saying to us today that we need to become new. We can't become new if we have a lot of old stuff hanging around, expecting and thinking that things are going to change. It's not going to change. It's not going to get better. If you have the same rot on you, you can hope and keep hoping. But eventually, you do everything that you can possibly do. Eventually, you've done all that you can do. And you have to make your mind up at that point. I'm not saying come to a point in your life where you're just so easily snared to where you just start cutting everything completely out. Look at every situation in your life. Where is the greatest pain? Work there first. What has been hanging around the longest that doesn't seem like it's changing? Start there first. Look at your life and begin to start seeing some things and say to yourself, how much longer do you keep on going, hoping and hoping and hoping and hoping and hoping? Well, the more you keep on going, because you have a lot of love in you, that love is causing you to keep hoping and keep hoping and keep hoping and keep hoping. But you know what it's doing? It's robbing from life. Let's take a plant. A plant grows, it gets healthy, but then all of a sudden there are certain leaves on it that begin to die. Do you leave those leaves that are starting to die on there, or do you begin to pinch them off and take care of them? Do you prune it so that new life can grow? Do you prune it so that there'll be new life that begins to grow and make that tree healthier? God has set us up to a place where we can look at nature and see how nature operates, and then take that nature and put it inside of us and realize that when we prune ourselves, that pruning may hurt. It may look like the tree is half bare. But then in a week or two, all of a sudden, new life starts to come. New buds start to form. New branches start to grow. You become new again. And this is why I say my God. Why my God? Because my God isn't just all fluffy all the time. My God says there's a time where we need to start pruning ourselves. There's a point in our lives where we need to start waking up and saying, that tree, that little branch there looks a little brown. You know, you can wait until it's all the way brown, but eventually it's going to wither and fall away. Why don't we just pluck it off now? Let's just get rid of it now. Let's just prune it now. Let's just start cleaning up. So that this bush, this tree inside of us begins to grow healthy. There are flowers that are looking to bud and blossom. There are branches that are looking to reach out and touch more and do other things. But what are we? We're withering away. We're dry and we're thirsty. We have to water the soil. We have to do things to ourselves. We can't just be there and wither away. So when I say that the kingdom of God is suffering violence and the violence is taking it by force, there are forces. You have to ask yourself, what caused the leaves to wither on a tree? There has to be something there that is robbing from that. So you might have to add some more nutrients. You might have to add some more water. This is why it's important to keep listening to these messages. These messages are like water to your plant, to your soil. It's nutrients, it's vitamins, it's sunshine to that plant. And God heals us through His Word. And a lot of people in the religion says, oh, you got to live by the Word, you got to live by the Word. But the Word is truth, it's a living, it's alive, and it's inside of you. When people say to me, well, that's right and that's wrong and this is good and that's bad, I just want to cry. I want to cry because I know that there are some things that are inside of me that I have to live, I have to do, I have to be. And it may not agree with a lot of people around me. And most of the time, it doesn't agree with anybody around me. But it's my tree, just like it's your tree. And nobody's going to really understand why you have to do what you do. But you know. And I can't say that you're wrong. I can't say that you're wrong. Who am I to judge you? You know what's right. You know what's inside of you. There might be a lot of people, some even close to you, that might not agree with the way you're feeling. But when are you going to live? When are you going to begin to start living? And this is what God is saying to all of us. When are we going to start living? When are we going to start waking up? We're dead. We're dead because we have laid down and let life roll all over us, trying to put a law on us, telling us that this is wrong and this is right and this is good and this is bad. But I'm going to tell you right now, what's right is what's inside of you. What is good is what's good inside of you. What needs to change, you know what needs to be changed. You have the Spirit of God inside of you and it's never left you. This is why I say, why God? Because my God lets you be strength and strong with inside that. And as soon as you begin to stand in Him, as soon as you begin to take that rightful place in Him, when you begin to have life in Him, you're going to see this joy and this peace and this righteousness. Don't doubt what's inside of you. It may hurt. I'm going to tell you right now, it may hurt like you just smashed your thumb with the hammer. In the beginning, it's going to hurt. But eventually it'll heal. Eventually it'll feel better. Who knows? Maybe it might even strengthen the area that got hurt. Maybe you become new in itself. I guarantee, if we heed this word today and begin to look at certain issues in our lives and begin to take that bold stand in Him. When I say in God, I'm saying in you, because God isn't in you. God is in you and you just don't know it. The way you feel is the way He feels. The way you are is the way you are and it's the way He is. He made you like that. Don't doubt what's within you. Don't be afraid. We're all afraid. We have every right to be afraid because we're alone. We're alone. And especially the cares of the world. Think about it. Mortgage payments, electrical bills. Think about it. Being alone in this world to try to survive and try to eat is a scary thing. How many people would agree with that? It's hard. And it's getting harder. And that's why I say we need God even more. Because God supplies all our need. He does supernatural things. I thank God for where He's put me in my life because I'm seeing miracles. I'm seeing signs and wonders in my life because no way could it possibly be. No way. If you look at the natural world around me, you have to say to yourself, no way. But I'm saying yes, because there is a way. With my God, there is a way. And if you embrace yourself with this truth, you will see that your life will change. The reason why you don't have what you want is because you have things that are filling your cup, and that's not healthy. And you got to take that stuff out. I know it hurts. I know it's a bold statement. I know you're afraid. But once you begin to start doing it, once you begin to start removing those things out, God does things that are far beyond what you can even imagine. Those desires that you have will be filled, and not only will they be filled, it'll exceed your expectations. It'll be better than what you think. And this is the thing that is so beautiful about God. When we think that, you know, we're lost and, you know, and all of a sudden we begin to trust in God and start to trust in Him and we begin to believe in Him and we begin to feel what He's feeling and we live in that life that He has given us, He blesses us and honors us because I'm going to tell you, you want to know true worship? This is true worship. He says that in the last days, the true worshipers will rise up and worship me in spirit and in truth. And that spirit is in you and that truth is inside of you. Not what the world says. Not what the world and the influences of the world say to you and try to cause you to do those things that you don't want to do. When you begin to surrender yourselves to those powers, guess what? That's sin. We need to understand the truth so that that truth will set us free. I am here not to judge. I am here to encourage you to say how you're feeling, what's inside of you is truth, and that's God's will. And I hope and pray that He'll give you the strength to keep moving forward and living in that life that He has given you. Don't ever think it's wrong. Those feelings that you have every right to feel them. My prayer is that the kingdom of God stops suffering. My prayer is that the kingdom of God that's within us stops suffering and the violence that is causing it to suffer stops. I want to command the wind to stop. I want to command the storms to stop. I want to command those things that the cankerworm and the locust has eaten and cause it and command it to stop. It's frustrating to me to see God's children suffer and perish. This is not a religion. What I am speaking and what I'm sharing is not a religion. I don't want religion. I want people to be free, delivered, and set free. I want life inside of them, and I want the relationship that God has longed for them to be restored and brought back. It's not about building big buildings and it's not about creating a denomination that will go worldwide. It's about you and you being free and have an intimate relationship with God so that you can have a life. It's all about you and you getting a life. That's what this is all about. It's about you to be able to have a fulfillment now and not only now but to carry over for eternity. When my life was changed, I was shown a revelation. And that's why I cry so much and my heart is so longing to see people come free. It's because the condition that they're in is the condition that they will have for eternity. It's important to live this earth now and to be changed now because this is the only place that you can be changed. You can't be changed anywhere else. You can't have a life anywhere else than the life that you establish now. It's a mystery. And this mystery is beautiful if we understand it. This is the time now to change the way we're thinking. This is the time now for us to restore and get life inside of us so that we can live that life to the fullest. Pursue with everything that you can. Pursue righteousness. Pursue peace. Pursue joy. You have done nothing wrong. Why do we condemn ourselves? That condemnation comes because we doubt how we feel. That condemnation comes because we're not honest with the way we feel. And then we let the laws or the cares of the world tell us different when we need to let them go. You know how much condemnation comes on me for the life that I have chosen? I'm condemned all day long. Every day I come in condemnation, whether it's coming from someone out there or if it's coming from in my head. And it's all part with cares. I'm worrying about this and how am I going to do that and how's this going to happen and how's that going to happen and who's this going to come and who's that going to come and all these lies. But I believe God is just bringing us closer to worship. I believe God is just showing us how to worship. Who this day are we going to choose to worship? God isn't out there. God isn't up in space. God isn't over there in this building or that building. God is right in here. And to know Him is probably the greatest gift that we can ever have. To understand what is inside is probably the greatest gift that we can ever, ever obtain. And that's salvation. You want to know what true salvation is? It's not saying you're sorry. It's not doing 10 steps to forgive yourself. Your salvation is when you rise up and take control of your life. And begin to understand those feelings that you have. Because that's His word. That's His living word inside of you. And as you begin to grab hold of that truth. And you begin to live that truth. You will see how much growth. How stronger you'll get. How bigger you get. How blessed you get. How supernaturally things start happening in your life. How every desire that is inside of you is filled. Do you have dreams? Do you have desires? You didn't give up yet, I hope. Do you have areas in your life that you want? That you need? Do you have areas in your life that you wish could be different? Did you lose hope? I hope today that you didn't. I hope today that you've taken this word, this message, because you're not here by accident. God has called you for a reason. God has chosen you for a reason to hear my words because He has a longing for you that is so special. There is something about you, and I don't know what it is, but I know it's special. You got so much love inside of you. I think the world needs it. I think the world wants it. And until you see it, you'll always feel alone. We need to grab hold of this truth that's inside of us so it fills the emptiness. We're empty because we're not seeing the truth. And as soon as we begin to see it, we get filled. It's like the dead stuff comes out and the new stuff grows. And that newness has to grow inside of us. Don't expect that you're going to have a tree with all these dead leaves and think the thing's going to survive. It's going to die. Eventually, it's going to die. But I'm here to bring life. This word is life. If you think that you're going to live the rest of your life and things are going to get better because you want to keep hoping and not do anything about it, you're living a fairy tale. You're living religion. Oh, just hope. Love unconditionally. You know, love them 70 times 70. Keep forgiving. Let them keep trashing you and just keep forgiving. Just keep on forgiving. Just keep living a religion and you will have death. You have to eventually start putting your foot down. There is a part where the Bible says, if they don't receive you, wipe off the dust of your feet and move on. There's a part that we tend to forget. We condemn ourselves so much. And we need to begin to start saying to ourselves, this is my life. And I hope and pray that you hear me. I hope and pray that you understand. But if not, I'm not going to continue to be your whipping boy. I'm not going to continue for you to continue to whip me and make me feel bad. How many times have we been whipped and felt bad? For what? For what? You haven't done anything wrong. None of you have done anything wrong. But we tend to whip ourselves over and over and over and over. Maybe not physically. Maybe we're not taking it to that level where we need to start cutting ourselves or start beating ourselves with a belt or start to do some things that are just ungodly, so to say, in that area of abuse. But how far does it go? I'm going to tell you right now, it starts spiritually. And then it starts manifesting itself on the outwardly. Maybe we start overdoing too much drugs. Or maybe we start overdoing too much alcohol. Or maybe we start overdoing too much sex. Or maybe we just start overdoing. We indulge. It starts with thinking. And then it begins to create a lust and a desire. And then we begin to thrive. And what are we doing? We're thriving for more pain, more suffering. A little leaven spoils a whole bunch. Let's get rid of the pain now. Let's remove the suffering now. Let's be delivered with it now. Why do we continue to go on and on? I know why. Because the world told us that we should be good people. The world told us that we should love unconditionally. The world has told us that we should live a certain way. We should do this and we should do that. And we can't do this and we can't do that. What law do we live under? Does the world know your pain? No one knows our pain but ourselves. No one understands. When I look at someone who cuts themselves, I say to myself, what could possibly go on through that person's mind when they're cutting themselves? What could possibly be going on? I don't know the pain that they're suffering. When I see somebody sticking a needle in their arm getting high, I don't understand the pain. I know there's pain. Because we all have pain. We all been there. Maybe we didn't stick a needle in our arm yet, but we thought about it. Maybe we didn't think about cutting ourselves yet, but we thought about it. Maybe we didn't take it to those levels yet, but we thought about it. It's starting. There's a world out there that is listening to me right now. And they're thinking about it because they have pain. And I'm telling them to rise up out of that pain. Do all that you can do. And do as best as you can. And if you have to, cut it off. If you have to, pluck it out. If you have to, move on. Don't continue to keep these things in your life. Because how far is it going to drive you to the point of no return? I've had some loved ones in my life who have OD'd. I used to have people that I hung out with, and I've never thought that it would have went to those places. I've had people hang out that I know that went to a point of committing suicide. They blew their head off or hung themselves, bled out. I've been around, and I saw some pain in their lives, but I didn't know the deep, hidden pain that they had. But I do know this, I know a deliverer. I know one that can set you free because he set me free. I was once in those areas, not just in the needle, but the hanging, the cutting, the blowing your head off, the overdose, the alcohol, you name it, I was there. But one day, a power that is not known by man came into my heart. And no one had to tell me. He came. And I hope and pray that He comes in your heart today. If you will just open up your heart and say, I need a life. Because that's where I was. My heart opened up and I said, I need a life. Help. I need a life. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I always say, this is the key. I didn't come for the well, I came for the sick. You need to be sick and tired of being sick and tired in order for my God to come into your heart. You cannot expect my God to come in your heart if you still love your life. You will create a religion. You will create some other unknown God that I don't know. And that God will be your God and you will still have death. And that death will be eternity. You will not have eternal life. If you don't lay your life down, you cannot have a life. If you don't commit yourself to a point of saying, I want to lose this life that I'm living, I am sick and tired of living this life that I'm living, you will not gain one. I know that for a fact. There are some that I know that are on the verge of suicide, committing death, extremes, to the point where I say, why don't you accept my God and He will set you free? And they said to me, nobody knows the pain that I'm going through. And I say, you want to hold on to that pain. That's why you're taking it to these levels. You love yourself more than you love, you know, someone else. Because guarantee, we're hurting people continuing to go on the way we're going on. We may not think so, and we may think that we're just living a life of our own in our own pain, but I'm going to tell you right now, the pain that you're living in is affecting others too. So if you want things to change in your life and change around, cutting those things off might be very, very healthy for others too. You don't know. All you know is what has been told to you in your head. And I guarantee it, 99.9% of it is not healthy. Those voices in our head are only there to just destroy us. The voice that we need to hear is the one that's inside of our heart. Let's be true and honest with ourselves. You know, when I asked that one individual who ended up hanging himself, he knew the truth, but he didn't care. I'm asking you today, before you end up going into crazy measures of your life, I know it's all because you're just trying to cry out and get somebody to hear you. But the first thing we have to do is we got to cry out. Cry out. There's nothing wrong with crying out. And then let it go. Cut it off. To evoke some empathy. And move on. We're not going to be able to make people do things differently. I know why that person continued to do what they were doing. Because they really wanted to see them change. Did it because of love. They wanted that person to really love them. But that person wasn't going to love them anymore. That person just didn't know how to love. And he thought by taking certain measures that it would change their heart to love them more. But it just took them to the end. And that person never loved them. I'm going to tell you right now, you can't change the world around you, but you can change the world that's inside of you. And this is what I'm asking for. Find my God so that He gives you the strength to change. Find my God because my God cares for how you feel.
My God knows how you feel. My God wants to make your life better. But we're afraid we can't see tomorrow. But my God says, don't worry about tomorrow. My God says, I take care of tomorrow. My God says, don't get caught up about tomorrow. Live today. Live now. Take the sorrow that's out of your heart and find a life now. When are we going to let it go? To try to prove some point that they're not going to listen anyhow? I see inside of you the love that you have that you want people to hear, but they're deaf. They're dumb. Even to blindness. But that love inside of you just doesn't quit. And I'm here to say that you didn't do anything wrong. I'm here to say only God opens up the eyes and only opens up the ears so that they can see and hear. And if God didn't open up their eyes and didn't open up his ears, their ears, there's a reason. He just doesn't want them around you. The law says, but they're my brothers, my sisters, my mothers, my fathers. But God says, who is my mother? Who is my father? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? The one that does the will of the Father is my brother, my father, my sister, my mother. Guilt and shame is the worst thing that can ever enter into our heart. But the law is what keeps us in guilt and shame. Trying to make us feel bad because we shouldn't be doing this and we shouldn't be doing that. I know cutting off my arm is insane. Plucking out my eyeball is insane. But God says it's better. It's better if you do it. It's better. I don't understand a lot of things until afterwards. One thing I did learn is not to reason with what's inside of me. If I'm feeling this way, search it and ask yourself why. Get to the root. Find the truth. And then walk that truth. And I'm telling you, this is where paradise is. This is where the kingdom of God is. If I can have every head bowed for a moment. Normally I call to minister and pray and lay hands, but I believe the Spirit of God was moving in our service today. And my prayer is, Lord, touch them in their seats. There's no need for me to lay hands on anyone. God is the Spirit of God, and He touches you where you're at. If your heart was opened, He came in today. So, Father, I ask that you not only touch them in a special way, as you touched my life, but you give them the strength and the courage to move on. That you give them the eyes to see the truth that's inside of them and let them embrace you. Let them embrace the truth that's inside of them. Let them hold on to it tight and never let it go. Give them the courage and the strength, Lord, as you did with me. Let them know that the pain is going to be there, but it's only going to be for a moment. God's healing right now. Just take His healing. Take His love. Embrace it. I guarantee you will have strength after today. I guarantee he will lift you up. I guarantee he will allow you to go forward. He's giving you new hope right now. He's going to start bringing those things in your life that you need, that you've been asking for. Receive it. There are things that we've been waiting and longing for. I can say for you, have patience. Because patience is the virtue. Patience is the power and the strength. We want things overnight. We need to learn patience. He comes in the still of the night. When you least expect it. And so, Father, I ask that you grant us patience as we stand in you. That you would grant us this power to know that you come in the still of the night. When we least expect it, we wake up in the morning and it's a new day. And those things have changed. I thank you, Lord, for honoring and gifting us your presence. I pray. And that you know our needs before we even ask them. And I want to thank you in advance. Thank you, Lord. If you're here today, know that you know my God. If you're here and you're listening, you know my God. And my God knows you. Or you would never hear my words. He wouldn't allow you. But you're here. Embrace him. And thank him. Thank him now. That he has given you the strength. Even though you may not feel like you have it now. Thank him now. Praise him and glorify his name that he has delivered you and set you free and he has given you the courage and the strength to move on. Prophesy it. Don't let your heart be troubled. Thank him for today. Thank him for his word. Thank him. I pray, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. And remember, continue to log on to the website and water that plant that's inside of you. And don't be afraid to pluck those dead leaves off your branches, amen? I'm going to call Pastor Tim up and he's just going to close us and close the website, close the people that are listening. We're at 90 nations right now, Tim. We're growing incredibly. They can't wait. I mean, Monday they're hitting, Thursdays they're hitting. I mean, before we can get these messages out, people are logging on and they're just eating it up. We've had more mega power or whatever, giga power, whatever is happening. We got more power now than we've ever had. It's just incredible. I don't know much about it, but all I know is God is doing some great things. So, Tim, I just want to gratefully praise you and thank you for all that you've done here. Amen. Amen. This is one Amen. Of the pastors of the ministry.
Hey, we just want to thank everybody for logging in today on the internet. Stay tuned for Wednesday night service. It's at 7:30. You can log in again on live stream. We also want to let you know that every Wednesday night we have 7:30 service. It's called conference night. And if you can't tune in, you can log in the next day. Just go out to glorytothenations.org. That's our website. There's audio on there. We record these messages. And I just want everybody to be blessed, be safe, have a great work week, and hopefully see you again this coming Sunday. God bless.